This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Tell us and talk to us about something that I feel is very significant. You know, we must understand that the significance of someone does not revolve around their birth. I want to say it again. The significance of someone does not revolve around their birth or the celebration of their birth. The significance of an individual does not revolve around the celebration of their birth or you're celebrating your birthday. That is not the significance of that person. Amen. A child can be born, yes. And after they're born, 10 minutes later, they can die. A child can be born, and then 10 minutes later, they can die. You can be born and not fulfill destiny. Being born is one thing. So you're born. Many children are born. Every minute, a child is born. Every minute. In fact, we can probably say every second, because considering the world and the different parts of the world, we can probably say every second a child is born. But there are those people who become presidents, and there are those people who become this and who become that. So your destiny, you are not, you know, you can be born and not fulfill destiny. Being born is not the fulfilling of that destiny. I want to say that again. Because you were born doesn't mean you fulfill destiny. So you're born, then what? That you saw a child is born does not mean that that birth is what is fulfilling destiny. There must be a reason for being born. You're not just born just to be born and then boom, oh, she's born. No, there is a reason for being born. Born, besides being born in itself. Are we clear? There must be a reason. There is, I should say, a reason for being born. Some people were born to sing. Some were born to dance. Some were born to write an outstanding author. Some were born to create software. They think of the most amazing things and they create software. Some were born to that. Some were born to steal. Some were born to kill. And some are born to die. That sounds really funny to say that someone was born to die. How do you give birth to a child and you know the destiny of this child is to die? Who wants to hear that? Yet some individuals were born to die. Jesus Christ was born for a purpose. And that purpose is to die. Our purpose is not just the fact that we were born. We must be able to identify what is the purpose of being born. When Jesus came, he came knowing and having full understanding that I'm coming here not to be, you know, celebrated my birth. The purpose of his birth, the purpose of his coming was to do what? To die. The purpose of his birth was to die. He came to die. His assignment on earth was to die. His assignment on earth was not to be born to be a carpenter. That was, by the way. His assignment on earth was not born to be a speaker, though he spoke. That is by the way. His assignment on earth was to die. When we say he was a gift to the world, the gift is not in the birth, the gift is in the death. He was born to die. When we say he gave us a gift has been born, a gift has been born. Being born is not the gift. Although for us, our children, being born is the gift. for our own children. But Jesus, his assignment, his primary assignment, his most important achievement and assignment was to die. That was the gift to us, you and I. His assignment was to die. That is the gift in the of him coming. The Bible says in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Look, the giving is not the birth. The giving is given on the Calvary, on Calvary. The giving is the death. The fact that he gave his son to die, not to be born, that's not the significance. Why am I saying this? We are in the time when the world focuses on the wrong thing. Do I hear an amen? We as Christians, we must have an understanding of why we are called Christians. Christian means a follower of Christ. So that you can know whom you follow, you must understand that the significance and the gift and the giving is not in his birth, but in his death. He gave him up. When Jesus was on Calvary, the Bible says that there was a separation between him and his father. That is the giving up. It's not that he was born by Mary. What is that's it has its significance, because the fact that he was born by Mary, it lets us understand that in order for him to fulfill the assignment, there is a particular reason why he had to die. In order for him to fulfill that assignment, he had to be born of flesh. He had to identify. Because guess what? I always say this. Jesus did not have to come through a virgin or whatever. And the way, he didn't have to. He could have just from heaven. Because it's not like he was born. He was in existence in the beginning. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It was the same in the beginning with God. All things were made through him and by him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Let me tell you, before we understood what light was, Jesus was. He was in existence from the beginning. He and God was one and the same. And they said together, "Let us make man in our image." So he was there in the beginning. He was the incorruptible God. He was the all-sufficient God. If he wanted to come, he could have just come and appear. But it would have been an illegal act, because the Bible says something. The wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. But it doesn't end there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. In order for you to get that gift, he had to die. He couldn't die as an incorruptible God. He couldn't die as a supreme being. He had to subject himself to mankind, so that the only people and the people that will benefit from his dying is mankind. The wages of sin is death. That means somebody committed the sin and it was not Jesus. Amen. Somebody committed the sin and it was not Jesus. The person that committed the sin was you and I. And in order for us to be redeemed, you know, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means for this illegal act called sin, somebody has to die. I didn't say a spirit has to die. I said somebody has to die. Because when you were committing the sin, you didn't commit the sin in your spirit. You committed the sin in your flesh. And so when they are in the court of law and they say, "Who did this?" They say, "Where is the accused?" They will say, "This is the accused, a living flesh." That means they will say that this accused must pay the price, whether to go to prison or do whatever. This accused, this body, it must pay. But then, while they are saying all of that, another individual stands up. It has to be the same flesh. It has to be made with the same substance. It cannot be spirit. Don't sit down, sir. I didn't tell you to sit down. It cannot be a spirit. Because when Abimbola committed the sin, she didn't commit it in her spirit. She committed it in her flesh. So they cannot say that, oh, it was because I was a ganja spirit or whatever kind of spirit. I was sleeping at night. I didn't know. My spirit got up. I floated out of my body. And it was my body or my spirit that went to commit that sin. The judge will be like, you better get your butt out of here because you were lying. The judge is not going to recognize, sir, that you committed anything in the spirit, because it's not about the spirit, it is about the flesh. And so this flesh must pay. This flesh must pay. But then the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. In my place, he gave. I'm trying to tell you now the significance of his death. The significance of his death is to pay for me and to pay for you. Because somebody committed a crime, and somebody, you can't go scot-free. Because the Bible says God hates what? Sin. He cannot identify with sin. Somebody must pay. Somebody must pay. Somebody must pay. But because he loved us so much, the Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. And in giving him, I'm telling you, it's not in his birth. In giving him, it's saying, after they said, guilty as charged. After they said, this is what you have done. Now, this is the consequence. Punished by death. Jesus wrote and said, I will die the death. He couldn't die as a spirit being, an incorruptible being. He could not. He had to come in the flesh so that he can stand in the gap. And when they say, oh, she's guilty and she must pay, punishable by death. We hear that all the time. Do we not hear that all the time? Punishable by death. And Jesus says, I will stand in the gap. I will die her death. I will. They're smiling. You're not supposed to stand next to me. But I can't. He said, God. It is in his friend, her front. I said, you're taking her plate. Oh, God. Tell her to go and sit down. So go sit down. Jesus says, I will pay the price. The price for sin is death. Punishable by death. So I will pay the price. I will stand in the place. I must come in the flesh. And so he came in the flesh and he gave us the ultimate gift, which is what? Eternal life. It will be a jeopardy for me to have to die again because I have already died. Even though I did not die the death myself, somebody said they are going to stand in my gap and they're going to pay for it. I remember there was a time, you can sit down on Brother Ken, now I said it. You know you're military. You know you gotta get orders. Now I said sit down. I remember there was a time I was going on the bus to camp. And while I was going, I realized that I didn't bring my wallet. So the entire ride, whether I choke, whether I can't breathe, whether my saliva runs out and I can't, I will have to suffer the consequences all the way till we get to Dallas for the convention. And so I'm in the front saying it to the people on my right and the people on my left that I thought I brought my wallet. Whereas Brother Alex was all the way in the back. He had no idea what was going on. But when we stopped at the stop to get down and get something, he stepped into the gap and he said, Pastor Joyce, whatever it is, go inside the store and get whatever you want because I am going to pay for it. That means that he stood in the gap. What I could not do, because guess what? If I die, it's going to be a terrible death and it will mean nothing because I don't have what it takes to die to pay. I don't have what it takes to die to pay. pay for the sin. So it would be as though I am also a turtle dove that they used to do and give in sacrifice every year. Because in order to fulfill and to pay for that, you have to have not only be in the flesh, but it must be perfection in the flesh. Jesus Christ never sinned. And so it is clear to us to understand that the one that died for me was without any charge. The one that died for me was guiltless. The one that died for me did not have to pay for anything, but he stood in the gap. Oh my God. I hope somebody would have gotten something this morning. He stood in the gap. That is the purpose of him dying, is to pay for me and to pay for you. Do I hear an amen? I said, do I hear an amen? When he died, there was a significance in his death. Jesus bought us with his death, and then he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Do I hear an amen? He bought us with his own life. He bought us. There's a saying which reminds me, this weekend, this Friday, is Yoruba service. I go to Yoruba service, and even though I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, here I am, use me. It's not like Yoruba. It is my first language, but I spoke it for only the first 10 years of my life. But the last 30 years of my life, I've spoken English. And so it's not like I'm very fluent in that language, especially to preach. But I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, here I am. Send me. Because I realized that there was a need. What is the need? There's a lot of people, and that, you know, I can't learn every language, but at least I have a background in a particular language. And the Lord spoke to me and says that start a service where, you know, if you want to start an Igbo service, have them start that. If you want to start different types of services like that, where people, we have our mothers, okay, come from Africa to take care of the children here. Half of the time, yes, they get something from this main service, but there is nothing like worshiping in your own tongue that you understand. Do I hear an amen? And so I made a decision that, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to be make myself available. And do you know that even up till now, I learn more from them than they, I believe they get from. They may think they're getting something from me, but I learn more from them. I think my Yoruba has improved significantly since I have been doing the Yoruba service. I said that all to say to you that there is a way that they say it in Yoruba when they're talking about he stood in the gap. He bought me with his life. They call it rakmada. He bought me back. He brought me back. He stood in my gap. And that is so significant for us to understand the purpose of his death. Do I hear an amen? If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for what? For what? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It was prophesied that he was going to come, not to celebrate his birth, but to celebrate his death. Why would you celebrate? See, again, you must understand, you have to think twice. Think in two ways. Yes, we celebrate the birth of our children. Yeah, thank God. Hey, the Lord has opened my womb and all of that wonderful things. That's great. But when it comes to the Christ, the celebration is not in the birth. The celebration is in the death. I saw some people, I was watching TV one day when I was maybe, I don't know, 10. And they said that there's a particular country, every year around Easter, they get out, they make a cross, they carry the cross, and they start weeping them. And they start crying. And I'm like, I'm a child, but something wrong with this. I'm a child, but something is wrong with this. And then, of course, later on, I saw that same thing. I saw that they were beating them. They were crying. And I'm like, that cannot be in line with Scripture. It's not. It is not in line with Scripture that they're beating them. And the purpose of his death is to give us joy. We should be happy that Christ died, not celebrating it in a way where we are also now carrying and they're beating us and we're, oh, we see what he went through. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to understand, and that is when the joy should be. That is when the celebration should be, when we remember that he died. Because if we know why he died, then you will know to celebrate. Because he died to take your place. You should have died. I should have died. But he said, I am not going to allow you to die. I am going to deal the death for you. Now, I'm telling you that there is a significance. It's not just on his death, but there is a significance in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In his burial assures us that his resurrection is a reality. His burial lets us know that his resurrection is a reality. Why do I say that? When they buried him, you know, they tortured him first. They put him on the cross. They whipped him. They did all manners of stuff. And then they brought him down. They put his body in a wrap and they put him in the grave. Not only did they put him in the grave, they said, roll a stone and block him in there. Now, the importance of that is, when that happened, everybody was looking at the disciples. In some countries, they'd be like, oh, B, look at you now. Where's your Jesus now? What has become of your Jesus that you've been following, that you said was healing the blind, the Jesus that was healing the deaf, the Jesus that was causing dumb to speak? Where is he now? He has died, and we know for sure that they buried him because we saw them roll the stone to block him in. It proves something significant. Some of your enemies, some of the people that don't like you, they're looking at you, aka that, oh, I thought you said, but look at you now. Didn't you stop? What's happening? They're looking at you funny. It's like Paul too. The Bible says that a snake fastened to his hand. And they were looking at him to see if he's going to swell up and die. And they started talking about something is wrong with this guy. Oh. Something is wrong with this guy. First, he was shipwrecked. Is that not enough? He was shipwrecked. And after they finished, they got out of water. He's almost, you know, he's drank so much water. Thank God he didn't die. He finally gets on the shore. Immediately he gets on the shore, a snake fastened to his hand. They backed up. Something is wrong with this guy. This guy's not. Something is wrong. Ah, you almost died just now. You were in a problem. You were in a siege. And now they're looking at him and something fastened to his hand. So the Bible says that they backed up and they were watching him to see if he's going to swell up and he's going to die. But then the Bible says he shook it, shook the beast into the fire, and they were still watching him. After a certain amount of time, they saw that he did not die. They started to call him, oh no, this one must be a god. It was the same thing with Jesus. I said that his burial significant, it was a significance because it tells us that his resurrection is sure. They thought that you were gone because you had to close that business. They thought you were gone because you couldn't make your child's school fees. They thought you were gone because you couldn't make that grade and they kicked you out of nursing school or pharmacy school. They thought you were gone. But then when they were saying all the things that Jesus did, where's your Jesus now? But the Bible says he rose from the dead. And they knew that the stone that they blocked him with was sure. But then he roared, my voice, you're gonna come out of this, rose from the dead. Just like somebody under the sound of my voice, you're gonna come out of the situation. You're gonna come out of that bondage. You're gonna come out of that thing that makes you look like it's over. They may be looking at you now and they think it's over, but when you rise from the dead, hallelujah, they thought that it was over. They thought it was over. They said, where is your Jesus now? How you like your Jesus now? Just the same way they're saying to you, what has happened to you now? Oh, I thought you were all that. And you know, some people, when you're doing great, they don't have anything to say to you. It is when you start looking, it just looks like it, because it's not everything that looks one way, it's really what it is. Sometimes it looks like everything is going down because God is allowing you to go through a season of grooming and pruning. The Bible says that there is a tree that when it first is planted, for years and years, you will never see the tree shoot up, because that tree is taking root downward. It's going through the earth and it's pulling the earth for strength. And it looks like nothing is happening. People may be looking at you and they say, nothing is happening. I thought you said you had this career. I thought you said you were a medical doctor. Well, why aren't you practicing? I thought you said you were a nurse from Nigeria. Well, why aren't you doing this? I thought you said you were a lawyer from Nigeria. Why are you flipping burger? It looks like it's not gonna go. But on the day that you rise from the dead, the day that you shoot up, when they say unto you, Brother Ken, stand up again. A man or a woman, I need a woman, I need a woman. Can you come? When somebody is not rooted, when you come up before your time, if Jesus had rose on the first day, we would not have the same result. If Jesus had rose on the second day, we would not have the same result. But he waited his time in the grave. He waited his time to take root. He waited his time to take value before he shut up. Guess what? If God, you want to shoot up before your time, but if God allows you to shoot up and shine before your time, and you didn't take root downward, somebody will push you and you'll be knocked out. But when you take root downward, don't let me move you now. Oh God, I'm a woman. Oh God, well, you're a soldier, man. I said, don't let me move you. When they try to push you down and you are shining, they try to push you down. They can't push you because you have to. I'm pushing you. He's not letting my message flow. He's not letting my message flow because I'm pushing him. I need somebody who I'm not going to. Brother Ken, man. Brother Ken. Brother Ken, don't let me push you. I'm just a little girl. I'm just a petite babe. I'm a petite babe. I'm only a petite babe. They're pushing you. They want to uproot you. They want you to go down. They want your business to go down. But the more they push you, the more you're resilient. The more. Glory. Now that's the work of a soldier. Chop knuckle, chop knuckle. That's the work of a soldier. How can a little babe like me be pushing you? Praise God. The reason why you have not shined is because you're taking root downward. You are gathering momentum. You're gathering strength. When a tree is planted, the first things that begin to is the vine, the roots. It begins to go into the earth and it grabs onto the earth. Jesus stayed in the grave 3 days, so that maybe the first day they question, he's not really dead. The second day they question, he's not really dead. By the third day, they know for sure that he is truly dead, because they looked for him, they could not find him. And those that saw that they rolled the stone to block him, they will see that, yes, indeed. And they will tell other people, just like those who are watching you, and they saw you go down. They saw that business go down. They're asking you, weren't you doing LVN? Why isn't the LVN already done? They'll ask you, haven't you been in LVN for 5 years? Why aren't you doing your RN? You may have failed the first time. You may have failed the second time. You may have failed the third time. But on the fourth time, you will arise and you will shine for the glory of God. It's not upon you now, but it's on the inside of you. Because when he died, you died with him. I said, when he died, you died with him. When he died, you what? You died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Because by the time I come back, what I was trying to, drama I was showing you right now, is not only to make you laugh, but to make you understand, by the next time you come up, by the next time you come up, even the ocean cannot shake you. Even the greatest siege cannot shake you. No demon in hell can shake you. Because when our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he rose triumphantly. He rose with power. He rose with increase. He rose with, he left so many things in the grave. He rose with authority so that you can understand that you were crucified with him. The one that is alive in you now is Jesus Christ. So therefore, what is not in Christ in his resurrection, it cannot be in you. If Christ cannot be sick, it means you cannot be sick. If Christ cannot fail, it means you cannot fail. So when you know you cannot fail, but you tried that program and you failed, shake yourself off and say, it is not in my DNA to fail, because Christ Jesus rose from the dead. You see, the problem with Christians is that we don't know how to use our authority. We don't know how to use our mouth when situations are not aligning with what the Bible says. You let the situations know. I failed in this program. Let me tell you, after I finished my RN, I did everything in stages. First, I was a CNA and a pastor's wife. I was in nursing homes wiping butts, wiping poop and everything. And then I moved to the hospital, Methodist Hospital, and I was on a surgical unit, women with cancer, and they take out their ovaries, and I'm supposed to get them up and all. And one day a nurse spoke to me and spoke to me in a terrible way. She had no idea that I was a pastor's wife. She had no idea what my tomorrow holds. But people see you in a particular they see you in a situation. They see you in a predicament is the word I'm looking for. They see you in a predicament, and when they see you in that predicament, they judge you and they feel that they can use their mouth to destroy you. And she spoke to me in an evil way. She spoke to me and she broke my spirit. And I called my husband that day when I finished my shift. He came to pick me up and I was weeping. I said, I'm going to go back to school, because never again will I give somebody an opportunity to speak to me in a way where I is not me. I'm not going to allow anybody to call me a name that is not my own. So I went to medication aid school. I didn't go to nursing school. I had children. I had a baby. And not only did I have that baby, I was already pregnant with twins. It was not easy for me to just say, bam, I'm going to nursing school. So I went to medication aid school. It took me a semester. When I finished that, I took my boards or whatever the test that they take, and I became a medication aid. And then I went back after I worked with that money for a while. I went back to get my LVN. When I finished my LVN, it was so easy because I had done the LVN program before when I was in high school and I did not pass. I didn't, my teacher said to me, you are not, you can, it's not you. Not everybody can be a nurse. That was what she told me in my high school days. 20 years later, I tried LVN again and I passed with flying colors. And then I didn't even study for the board exam. I went to take the board exam. I even forgot it was the day of the exam. I woke up and said, oh my God, today's my exam. I went in there and I passed my board with flying colors. And then I went back to RN school and I finished RN school, and I made a mistake to think that LV RVN was the same as RN. And I went there not studying. I just thought I can roll off the bed like I did before. And I will go to RN board exam. And I will take it. And boy, it shut off on me at 75. And there are two things that can happen if the board shuts off on 75. It means you pass successfully with flying colors, or you failed woefully. And by the way the questions was going, I knew I failed woefully. I had a reality check. And the devil spoke to me in that moment. That didn't they tell you 20 years ago that it's not your kind that can be an RN? It's not your kind that can be anything. I cried. What am I going to tell the congregation that knew that I was in RN school? Will I be a failure as their pastor? I wept. And then I realized that there was nothing left to be done except to go back to the books. And I did. I didn't go back to the books. I did. They said that go get some questions. I went to get something called NCLEX 3500. Every night at work, even though I was working as an LVN and I was taking care of my patient, I did one question. I did two questions. I did 300 questions. I did 1,000 questions. I did 2,000 questions. I did, if I didn't finish that CD, maybe I didn't do maybe 50. I did everything possible because I refused to believe the words that were spoken, that it is not my kind that will be a nurse. I remembered who I was in Christ, and the fact that Jesus Christ died so that I can have victory. I will not allow this thing to defeat me. Trust me, when you fail a board exam, to come up again, when they crucify you, to resurrect from the dead, it's not an easy thing. To come back from the dead, it's not an easy thing. But I buckled down because I refuse to believe that report that says I am a loser and I cannot be an RN. And I went back and I took the exam again. Again, sir, it shot up at 75. I started crying. I said, give me a chance at least. Let me go to 200 so that I can prove myself. Because I know I studied, but it still shot up at 75. And I told you that when it shuts up at 75, it's either you failed woefully or you passed triumphantly. 3 days later, when my Lord rose from the dead, I checked my exam and they said, Joyce Sunny, you are now a registered nurse. My God, stand on your feet. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice? You want God to do something that it looks impossible. It looks like you can't. It looks like they even told you you have an accent. How can you start a daycare? You have an accent. You better not go and beat the children. You think this is Africa? You have an accent. What makes you think you can be an engineer? You have an accent. What makes you think you can be a doctor? You have an accent and you can't do this. I want you to understand that on the third day, Jesus rose triumphantly from the grave, and so can you. I want you to lift up your hand and say, I will arise. I will arise from the pits of hell. I will arise from the dust and ashes. I will arise. Come on, lift up your voice and say, I will arise. Grab your partner. Grab a partner. Grab a partner. Grab a partner. Tommy said, I want a soldier. I want somebody with muscles to pray for me. Hallelujah. You're going to look at your neighbor in the face and say, 2017 is not over yet. You will finish this year with a bang. You will finish this year with triumphance. You will finish this year triumphantly. Come on and begin to prophesy into their life. Say, I prophesy, you shall be great. I prophesy, you shall be lifted. Choir, I want want you to come on the stage. I want you to begin to prophesy. Say, you shall be great. You shall be lifted. Say, this year is not over yet. The Lord will turn your situation around. Come on, say, the Lord will turn your situation around. There's a song I want you to begin to sing. Hayabaraboshata. Prophesy to them. We're going to sing this song. This song says, verily, 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 I say unto you, verily, 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 I say unto you, you shall be great, you shall be lifted, it shall be well with you. You shall be great, you shall be lifted, it shall be well with you. Oh, verily,
verily, verily, verily, verily, verily, verily, I say unto you.
Prophesy to your neighbor.
Verily, 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 I say unto you.
Because Joy Sunny was hated, the Lord opened her womb. Your womb of breakthrough, your womb of increase, your womb of going to the next level, your womb of power, increase, and authority. Every person that hates you, don't worry about them, smile. And understand that the Bible says because you were hated, the Lord will open your womb. I prophesy to the first 50 of you that catch the revelation that before this year is over, the Lord will open your womb of ideas. The Lord will open your womb of increase. The Lord will open your womb of the fruit of the womb. The Lord will open your womb of business ideas. The Lord will open your womb of financial breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Let me hear you shout it. Father, we want to thank you for this service today. Thank you for your word. Your word that does not need any introduction. Your word that comes with power of its own. We thank you, oh God, that your word has gone forth to accomplish what only you can accomplish. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, oh God, because we understand that we are triumphant in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will manifest the great blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Whatsoever you lay your hands upon, it will prosper. It's not over till it's over. We are serving the God of the 11th hour. Even in the next few days before 2017 runs out, you will hear great news. You will hear breakthrough. You will see breakthrough. With your hands, you will hold greatness. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.